Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air, online, and on Facebook. And today we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. We'll be picking up on page 90 at the top of the page, The Way of the Kingdom. It is our Friday study series, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is part of a chapter that's entitled Don't Look Back. And what we've learned thus far in our study is that once we've been saved, once we've crossed over from death to life, there's no going back. We can't undo what Christ has done for us in making us alive through his resurrected life. So if we're going to move in any direction, we have to move forward in this new life. That's one of the things that we saw with the people of Israel, that once they had been set free from Egyptian rule, once they had crossed through that Red Sea, there was no going back for them. There was no going back to Egypt. They had two choices, to wander in the desert or to move forward to the promised land. And that's the way it is for us. We have to move forward in this new life that we have in Jesus Christ. And sometimes that can be scary because we're not sure what that new life is going to look like. We're still kind of grappling with whether or not God really loves us. And so he's going to continue to deepen that. And as we grow in our understanding of the love of God, we will see that fear of moving forward start to diminish, and we'll be excited about what God has for us, not only tomorrow, but what he has for us today in this newness of life that we've been raised to walk in. So we're a part of a new kingdom. We were a part of the kingdom of darkness when we were lost, but through a daring rescue mission, God sent Jesus. Jesus came into this world of darkness as the light of this world, and he saved us. He took us out of that. He snatched us. And we see several scriptures in the New Testament that talk about the fact that Jesus snatched us out of that kingdom of darkness, and he placed us into this new kingdom. It's a new covenant kingdom.
Yeah.
And it's marked by faith, hope, and love. That's what distinguishes this new kingdom from the kingdom of darkness. And that's where we're going to pick up today, The Way of the Kingdom, on page 90. And we're going to start in a passage, Hebrews 8:10. As I said, this is a new covenant kingdom. Mm-hmm. We're no longer a part of the old covenant. We're in the new covenant. We were under the law of sin and death, but we've been set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We are no longer bound by that law. We're now set free to live in the newness of life in this new covenant. So Hebrews 8:10 is where we're going to start today. Bob, why don't you just read that for us?
Okay, and I really like that phrase, a daring rescue mission. That was pretty good.
Thank thanks.
Hebrews 8:10. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people.
So this is the new covenant. The writer of Hebrews takes what the prophet Jeremiah wrote some hundreds of years before Christ even came on the scene. There was this promise that there's going to be a new covenant. A day is going to come when God is going to establish a new covenant with his people. Well, that day came that Friday, or that day that Jesus died. His blood ratified this new covenant. And he had told his disciples the night before in that Last Supper when he raised the cup, and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. So the day that he died was the day this new covenant went into effect. The old had been completed, had been fulfilled in his death. This new was now ushered in.
Yeah.
So it's this new covenant in which we live. And in this new covenant, God has put his laws in our minds and has written them on our hearts. And he says, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people. So what are these laws? What are these laws that he has written on our hearts and in our minds? Did he just take those commandments that were written on stone and internalize those for us? No, I don't think so. I think he's written something different. And the reason I say that is because earlier in the book of Hebrews, the writer said this, when there is a change of priesthood, there is also a change of the law. So in this new covenant, there's been a change of the priesthood. In the old, it was the Levitical priesthood that was in control, was in charge. But now in this new covenant, it's Christ Jesus himself. And Christ did not come out of the bloodline of Levi. He was out of the bloodline of Judah. So it's the covenant of the Abrahamic covenant was to Abraham, then to Isaac, then to Jacob, then to Judah. And we see that bloodline traced through David all the way down to Jesus. So Jesus is a different type of priest. And because there's been a change of the priesthood, there's been a change of the law. So that old covenant was fulfilled in the death of Christ. And now a new covenant has come into play. And this new covenant is marked by a new set of laws. So in this covenant of grace, we're not without law. We have the laws of faith, hope, and love that are now written on our hearts and in our minds. That's the way of this new kingdom. That's good news, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So we're going to take a look at what these laws look like and how they're expressed in this new covenant life. In the book of Colossians, we actually read this passage last week, but it is really worth taking a look at again. And we're going to see a wonderful interplay between faith, hope, and love in this particular passage. So Colossians 1, 3 through 4, a wonderful passage. What does that say to us?
It says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all of God's people."
Okay. So in this passage, what had Paul heard concerning the believers in Colossae? Well, he had heard about their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had heard about their love for all of God's people. So we see the way of the kingdom expressed right here, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love for all of God's people. Now, the law of Moses couldn't generate those things. It couldn't generate faith in Jesus Christ. It couldn't generate love for other people. God had to write those things in our hearts by his Spirit, and that's what he did, and that's the way of the kingdom. So in the next passage, Colossians 1:5, so we're just working through this passage. What else did Paul say about the people of Colossae, the saints in Colossae?
"The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up in you for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel."
Okay, so he brings in the third mark of the kingdom, characteristic of the kingdom, and that's hope. And hope seems to be, you know, a foundational thing, because in this passage, he says, "I've heard about your hope, and from this hope has sprung forth your faith and love, your faith in Jesus Christ and your love for God's people." So these three things are interlocked. They work together. It's a trinity of law that God has written in our hearts, and they all kind of work together in harmony as one. Now, where did these folks in Colossae hear about this great hope? They heard about it in the true message of the gospel. Right. And he goes on to say in Colossians 1:6 that this gospel, that it's come to you. And in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has done among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. So what is growing in the people of Colossae? Their faith in Jesus Christ, their love for God's people, all springing forth from this hope that they have in Jesus. Yeah. So that's the way of the kingdom, faith, hope, and love. So what are the laws that God has written in our hearts and on our minds? The triplicate,
yep.
Faith, hope, and love. And that's what's going to bear fruit in this world. You know, the law doesn't bear fruit. You know, people try to live up to those commandments, and it just never bears fruit. The fruit that it does bear is fruit for death. Mm-hmm. It brings about judgmental attitudes. It brings about condemning attitudes. It brings about all of those sort of things. It brings about fear. It brings about guilt. It brings about shame. That's not what the world needs. We've had enough of that. That's why we needed to be rescued from the law of sin and death and set free to live in the newness of life, where faith, hope, and love could have its way in our hearts and actually bear fruit that brings a difference in this world in which we live.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's good news.
That is wonderful news. And it's the kind of news that you hear usually on Basic Gospel, don't you agree?
I think so.
Yeah, well, friends, you are listening to the Basic Gospel Friday Study Series from the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us. You'll find the book and the study guide at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. And we want to thank the many of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. Because of what you do, we at Basic Gospel are able to do what we do. That, of course, is take the truth, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to so many others who are searching, who need to hear that God loves them and has provided for them. We've seen it countless times over the years. When the truth is heard, when the truth takes root, new life, a forever changed life, is the result. And when you give and someone hears, believes, and begins to live in the life of Jesus provides, well, you've had a part in that. So we ask you today to help us keep the good news coming. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And when you do, good things usually happen.
Yes, indeed. You know, the people in this world today need Jesus. Yeah. We need Jesus like never before. And when that message of Jesus hits human hearts, faith, hope, and love grow in a person's heart, it changes everything. And that's what we're talking about on today's broadcast. So we're in this new covenant. That's what marks out this kingdom in which we live. We're new covenant believers. We're not old covenant believers. We're new covenant believers. And we need to learn that. We need to recognize that. We need to embrace it. God has ushered us into this new way of doing things. And that new way of doing things in this new covenant is faith, hope, and love. Now, we have this incredible hope, and that guarantee has been given to us through the Holy Spirit. We see this wonderful passage in Ephesians 1:13-14. And Paul is telling us what has happened to both Jew and Gentile, those who believe the gospel. So, Bob, will you read Ephesians 1:13-14 for us?
Okay, it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory."
Okay, so we were included in Christ when we heard the message of truth, the gospel of our salvation. So included in Christ means that we're a part of his kingdom. We're a part of his life. His life is in us. And because of that, we have this hope. And that's what we've been talking about. Well, what is that hope? It's the hope of being with him forever. It's an eternal inheritance. And because that's true, we've been marked out. We've been marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession.
Yeah.
So our future is guaranteed, isn't it?
Absolutely.
There are no uncertainties about that. It is guaranteed by God himself. He's given us a deposit that assures our hearts, assures our souls, and that's the promised Holy Spirit. The fact the Holy Spirit lives in you is a guarantee that your inheritance is secure. Boy, what good news is that? So we don't have to worry about things. I mean, we worry a lot about our futures here and now, don't we? We wonder if we're going to have enough money to live when we retire. We wonder, you know, what tomorrow is going to hold for our children. We wonder all kinds of things about tomorrow. And in that, we have a lot of anxieties. We have a lot of concerns. We have a lot of cares. And oftentimes those anxieties disturb us in such a way that we can't function today. But in Christ, our future is guaranteed. And that takes the edge off. And so with that, we can face our future here and now with a bit of certainty.
Yeah.
And with some confidence. And boy, is that ever good news. And Paul, John talks further about that in his letter, his first letter. And one of my favorite passages is in 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3, but we're going to start in verse 2 today. And Bob, why don't you read that passage for us, that verse?
Yes, it says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is."
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a powerful verse. So, you know, he starts out this particular chapter by saying, you know, look how much the love of God has been lavished on us that we should be called children of God. So when we enter into this kingdom, we're not entering into it as old sinners. We have a new identity. We've been called children of God, and we've been called that because of the love of God that's been lavished upon him. Now, we don't know, you know, exactly what that's going to look like in the future. That hasn't been made known to us. But here's what we do know, that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, Paul wrote in Romans that what's been predestined is that we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ, that we're going to be conformed to what Christ is like. Well, that's the process that we're in right now. We're already children of God, and God is chipping away at us and conforming us into that image. And when Christ appears, we're going to see him as he is, and we're going to be like him. Wow, is that a powerful hope?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's not something that we have to wish for or hope for. That's a certainty. God has guaranteed it, and he is in the process of bringing it about. So when he appears, we're going to be like him. And because we have that hope, it's going to change how we live here and now. And that's exactly what John tells us in the very next verse.
It says, "All who have hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure."
So when you have hope, it changes how you live here and now. Yeah. Boy, folks come to counseling centers, they call up and make appointments. Why? Because they lost hope, and their situation is overwhelming. It's dark, it's bleak, they can't see a light at the end of the tunnel. So they pick up the phone in desperation and they call looking for hope. They visit all kinds of people, anybody they think that might can inject hope into their situation. But that's the power of the gospel. That's what the gospel has in it hope. And when we recognize that hope, it changes how we live here and now. And in this passage, it says we purify ourselves. Well, what does that mean? Well, we have water filters. You know, we here at our office, we have one of those fancy filters that purifies the water that we drink.
Like it a lot.
Yeah. So what does that filter do? It takes all the pollutants out. It delivers to us a water that's going to be the most beneficial. Well, we live in a world that pollutes us, doesn't it? Well, and as we recognize that our hope in Christ, we recognize what we're going to be, we start saying, hey, I don't want to be a part of the things of this world. I don't want those things to detour or detract away from what God is doing in me through the Holy Spirit. And so we start letting our hearts and our minds and our eyes fix themselves upon Jesus. And in that, we see the things of this world starting to grow strangely dim.
Yeah.
That's what this verse is all about. It's not that we're trying to purify ourselves through human effort. It's not that we're trying to make ourselves more holy and those sort of things. We can't get any more holy than we already are in Christ. We simply let that reality start to dictate, you know, our attitudes, our choices, and those sort of things.
Yeah.
That's what this passage is all about. So hope changes us here and now. That's good news, isn't it?
I'll say it is.
Yeah. So here's this hope. It's doing something to us. The next aspect of this new life that we have in Christ is all about faith. So we want to look at a passage in Romans 10:17 that tells us a little bit about faith. So, Bob, what does that passage say to us?
Well, because of all this, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ.
Okay. So faith is not one of those words that, is isolated or in a vacuum. Faith only has meaning and substance as it relates to Jesus Christ himself. Yeah. There's really no faith apart from Jesus. You know, we have examples, you know, where we'll say, hey, that's faith. And we can look at atheists and say, well, boy, they have to have a lot of faith to believe some of the stuff that they believe. Well, that's not really faith. What faith is belief in Jesus. It is directly tied to the person and work of Jesus. And that's what Paul says. Faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. Yeah. So it's Jesus, who he is, and what he's accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. That engenders faith inside of us. Yeah. Jesus, as the writer of Hebrews says, is the author and perfecter of faith. Apart from him, there is no faith. So in Christ, we have hope. In Christ, we have faith. Again, that's the way of the kingdom. And we see a little bit of how this faith comes about in a wonderful passage in John 16.
Yeah.
And Jesus is talking here, and he tells us what faith is all about.
When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and about righteousness and judgment, about sin because people do not believe in me.
Okay. So God has sent the Holy Spirit into the world, and the Holy Spirit has a job. And that job is to convict the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment, to prove it wrong about those things. So we have it wrong about sin.
Yeah.
You know, we've missed the mark on what sin is. I mean, sin is missing the mark. Well, we've missed the mark as far as the definition. We've missed the mark concerning righteousness. We've missed the mark concerning judgment. All of those things are bound up in the person of Jesus. And so in regards to sin, he's going to prove that we do not believe in Jesus. That's the root of all sin. The root of all sin is unbelief. So we look at it as these actions. You know, we see the list of those things several times in the New Testament, and we define sin as those behaviors. But Jesus takes it a step further and says, well, the root of it, the cause of it, is unbelief in Jesus. And so that's what the Holy Spirit convicts us wrong about. And so as he convicts us wrong about sin, and he shows us that it's unbelief in Jesus, then something changes inside of us. We get attached to the message of Christ, and we see our hearts going from unbelief to belief. Faith takes place inside of us, and we start living in the newness of life.
Yeah.
By faith in Jesus Christ. So faith comes by hearing the message. The message is heard through the word of Christ. And he goes on to say, or Paul goes on to say in Galatians, it says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we have hope in Jesus, and now we have faith in Jesus. And we're going to see next week that hope in Jesus, that faith in Jesus, is going to be expressed through love for others, love for God's people. This is the way of the kingdom. This is this new life that we have in Christ.
Absolutely. Well, friends, we're glad you joined us for the study edition of Basic Gospel. Again, you can find the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the companion study guide through which we're studying when you visit SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. You know, at Basic Gospel, we are privileged to proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are also blessed to have many of you partnering with us. The need is great, and Basic Gospel has the answer to the heart needs of people everywhere. People whose souls and spirits are ready to hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have not yet joined with us, we ask you to help today to get the answer out to everyone who desperately needs to hear it. Will you join with us today with a gift? Simply go to basicgospel.net and click the donate link on any page, basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.